Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 62. And while you're turning there again, I'll tell you how this came to be our text. At the meeting last weekend in Fairmont, quite a few brethren came from other churches, and it was so good to see them. Just so good to see them. One of them was our brother John Davis from Rocky Mount. He came up, and it's good to see him. Friday night, we were talking about our brother Roy. And rejoicing, you know, just talking about how the Lord graciously called him home and what he must be seeing now. We do that every time the Lord calls a brother or sister home, but I mean, really, our brother was here two Wednesday nights ago, sitting right here among us, and he's in glory now, sitting amongst us. But anyway, I was just, you know, Brother John and I were just talking about things, how all the waiting that we do down here, all the looking that we do down here, all the trusting that we, you know, we're, and he's there. Everything that we're hoping for, waiting for, looking for, he has it. Roy has it. Physically. And, you know, to sum it all up, he has Christ. We have Christ, but he has Christ. He has received the prize. He's received the prize. Well, you know, John and I were talking about this because for a period of time, we were all together in Rocky Mount. That's where I met Roy and Juanita. And in you know, talking about Roy, being thankful for the fact that he's been called home and being thankful for the fact that he was given a heart for Christ, how thankful we ought to be for ourselves and all of our brethren that we've been given a heart for Christ, a heart for the gospel, a heart for the word. What a blessing. What a blessing. In just really rejoicing in that and talking about that, John Davis said, Psalm 62, you know, I probably said, you know, how wonderful is it that we would just be given a heart for the word? You know, Roy had a heart for the word, John said, Psalm 62. And I said, was that a favorite psalm of his? He said he read it almost every time it was his turn to read in the men's meeting. He said he just read it always, always. It wasn't literally the only thing he read, but he read it over and over and over. Well, hearing that made me want to go read Psalm 62. And when I read it, I was so blessed thinking about the fact that this is what blessed Roy. Does that make sense? I was so blessed reading it through his eyes and his mind and his heart, just entering into this as Roy entered into this. Roy's inner meditation, if you want to say it that way, before God. Roy's plea before God. What he said, that's for me. That right there is for me. It just blessed me so much. So I want to read this psalm tonight from Roy's point of view. Now, Roy has a new point of view, but I'm talking about the point of view that he had when he was here just like us. The point of view of the desire that he had in his heart when he was here, just like the rest of us. And I want to rejoice in the fact that this was his testimony. This was his plea before God. I've titled this message, A Psalm for Our Brother Roy. Now, these psalms say, Our Lord wrote every bit of this, but these psalms say a psalm of David. You'll see that under the heading. It'll say a psalm for Solomon, a psalm for Asaph. Well, tonight this will be a psalm for our brother Roy. Let's read this coming from him. Step into his shoes for just a minute, okay? Look at verse 1 with me. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. Now, I love this. I love, if you have a center margin in your Bible, you'll see that the word truly means only. Only. That's what the word translates to mean. Only my soul waiteth upon God. My soul only waits upon God. Truly. Truly, my soul is waiting upon, looking to, hoping in, trusting in the salvation that comes only from God. The one that comes only from God. What salvation are you trusting in, brother? What's your hope? It's the one that comes only from God. God alone. The salvation that only He can give. The salvation that truly is salvation. That's the one. The only salvation that's finished. That's the one. The only salvation that is secure. The salvation that is only in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one. Verse 1 goes on to say, from Him cometh my salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. It's of the Lord. If you want to know what was in the mind and heart and soul of our dear brother, it was that. Salvation's of the Lord. I talked to him. He told me. Salvation's of the Lord. That's what David said. That's what all of God's people say. Salvation's of the Lord. By the grace of God, our brother was made to believe in the depths of his soul concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. When it came to the Lord Jesus Christ, look at verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. Can you, in your heart, agree with that? He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Only. Only. Verse 1 says, only my soul waiteth upon God. Verse 2 says, He only is my rock and my salvation. Only. Only. You know, that's what separates the heart that is clinging to the true salvation of Christ and the heart that has muddied the water with man's works. Only. He only. He only is my rock. What do we add to Christ for salvation? It's Christ plus what? Nothing. Nothing. And that's what our brother said. That's what he believed and clinged to. Christ plus nothing. I pray that can be said about me. If next Wednesday night I'm in glory, or I'm not here, I pray that can be said about me. I pray that can be said about all of us. Christ plus nothing. Only Christ. Christ alone. Only Christ. I truly love, not loved, but love our dear brother. And he was a precious man who would tell people that. Anybody who knew him knew that's where he stood. Christ plus nothing. Only Christ. Verse 1 says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. I heard a wonderful illustration for this verse on I shall not be greatly moved. I shall not be greatly moved. A man was talking about being on a ship, a huge ship. And he said, when we got to a place where we wanted to stay, we would drop anchor. And that anchor would go down and grab onto a rock. And it would hold us there. But he said, the wind and the waves would still move the ship around. But it would only go as far as the anchor would allow it to go. And that's how it is for us. We feel like we're the wind and the waves of trials and fear and all those kinds of things. We feel like we're tossed to and fro, such on and so forth. But because of Christ, our anchor, we're only going to go as far as the anchor will let us go. We're not going to be greatly moved. We may feel like we're all over the place, but that anchor of Christ is keeping us by his power. That's the faith and the hope and the substance of a child of God. That really is. That's, he'll keep me. He'll keep me. Verse 3 says, concerning those who have not been given this faith and this hope and this substance. Verse 3 says, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? Mischief against the man. How long will you cry, it's not him only? That's the cry of mischief against this man. That's the cry of error. That's the cry of lies. It's not him only. That's the false cry. It's not him alone. It's him plus something else. How long will you try to add man's works to him? How long? Verse 3 says, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. Something that will come down. It's just a matter of time. And but for the grace of God, that would be all of us. That'd be all of us. How long will a man imagine mischief? Until it pleases God to sit him down, clothe him, and put him in his right mind. Verse 4 says, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. That's the flesh outside of Christ. That's all flesh outside of Christ. But for the grace of God, that would be me and you. We have so much to be thankful for. But by the grace of God, in the grace of God, through the grace of God, because of His grace to us, we've been caused to say to our own souls, right here in verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. You see how it keeps saying only? You notice that? Verse 1, only. Verse 2, only. Verse 4, only. Verse 5, only. Wait only upon God. One man called this the only psalm. Not the only psalm. The only psalm. Only. Only. Verse 5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Wait thou only upon God, Jesus Christ the Lord God of heaven and earth. Wait only on Him. my soul, for my expectation. That's where the word hope comes from. Expectation. You know, the Lord has put in the hearts of His people an expectation. Not a presumption. Not an arrogant pride. It's an expectation. It's a humble, confident expectation in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe and they trust that He did what He said He would do. He accomplished what He came to do. It's a confirmed, convinced expectation. My expectation, He said, is from Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. It's from Him, it's to Him. I love how Hebrews 11 describes God's people on this earth as strangers and pilgrims who have not yet received the promises. But it says, they have seen them afar off, and they're persuaded of them. They're persuaded of them. I've told you so many times before, I've had moments like this, and I'm sure you have too. You ever had a moment where you feel horrible for it? You just loathe yourself because of this, I believe, help my unbelief. But have you ever asked yourself for a brief moment, is this real? Wait a minute. Did He really go somewhere? You know what the Spirit of God does? Yea and amen. Even though you are so weak in faith, He is faithful. Even if we believe not, He is faithful. He'll keep you looking to Christ. He'll keep you pointed to Christ. He will. God's people expect these things. They expect to receive these things, just like every brother and sister who's gone before them has received these things. The city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God's people expect that's where they're going. Expect it. Verse 5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. That's what verse 2 says. That is a repeat of verse 2. Our comfort is in hearing these same things over and over again, isn't it? Same things over and over again. Just tell me one more time about my only rock. Just tell me one more time about my only salvation. My only defense against the adversary, against myself, against all the sin that this world throws at me. Tell me one more time about my only desire. Just tell me one more time how You put a desire in me for Christ. Tell me one more time about Him. If you could hear the gospel one more time, if you could hear one more message in your life, what would you want to hear? One more. What would you want to hear? Tell me about Him. Just tell me about Him one more time. Verse 7, it says, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. How does a person get in God? If a person is in God, where is that person? He or she is in Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. How does a person get in Christ? To me, there's a couple of very important questions that I wondered for years. And because I experienced that, I want to go ahead and tell everybody and tell you children. How does a person get in Christ? Of God are you in Christ Jesus. God the Father chooses who He wants to be in Christ, and He puts them there. It's unto Him. It's to His glory. It's to His credit. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. What is the evidence of being in Christ? How can I know if I'm in Christ? How can I know if I'm in Christ? Faith says that right there. Same thing he professed, the same thing we profess. It's the same thing David professed. Faith in Christ, a God-given heart that cries this right here. A belief in His Word only. How can I know if I'm in Christ? I will believe His Word only. His Word only. A man came up to a fellow pastor of ours one time, and after he had preached a beautiful, true message on Christ, and a man came up to him and said, "John Gill disagrees with what you just said." And the brother wisely and very kindly said, "Well," he said, "brother, I just told you what the Lord said, and you just told me what John Gill said. Who do you think we ought to believe?" I love John Gill, but it's him only. I agree with John Gill as long as he agrees with him only and everybody else and me. Him only. It's a heart that cries, how can I know if I'm in Christ? It's a heart that will cry, verse 6, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I'm not my own rock. I'm not my own salvation. I'm not my own defense. Verse 7 says, in God is my salvation and my glory. He's my salvation and He's my glory. I'm saved by Him. I'm saved to Him. He is my glory. He is glory. If we get to glory, it means we've gone to Christ. That's what it means. That's where, you think about that. That's where our brother went last week. He went to Christ. He went to the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. From experience now, if our brother could come back and tell us one final thing, it'd be this right here. Look at verse 8. Trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. That's what he'd say. From experience, he would say, you just trust in Him. He'll bring it to pass. Don't put your trust in the princes of this world. Don't put your trust in horses. Don't put your trust in chariots. You trust in Him. Trust Him. You trust Him. Pour out your heart to Him. To Him. Don't pour out your heart to anybody but Him. Him alone. Him only. Him only. This is why true preachers don't have these little confessional booths so people can come up and pour out their heart to them. It won't do any good. He's the counselor. He's the Savior. He's the judge. Pour out your heart to Him. You say, well, it'd just be a bunch of sin. If I did, if I poured out my heart to Him, all it would be is a bunch of sin. Well, this man receives sinners. He'll even eat with them. The great physician receives the sick. Verse 8 says, trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Where do I go? Where do I run to? Who do I turn to? God is a refuge for us. Verse 9 says, surely men of low degree are vanity. And that's me in my flesh. That's all men in their flesh. And men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. They're more empty than emptiness. Verse 10 says, trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. What he's saying is, look to God only. Everyone else, everything else is empty. All power is in his hand. He will do whatever he's pleased to do. And thank God for his people, he is pleased to show mercy. He was pleased to take our works upon himself and put his work on us. And then every man was judged according to his work. He was judged according to his work. But he made it his own. And we're going to be judged according to our work. But he made it our own. So unto him belongs mercy. All the mercy in the blood of the Lamb. Every soul in that work that was given to God's people. The work of the blood that he shed. Every soul in there. There's mercy for that soul. Mercy to be had with him. And you know, our brother hoped in mercy. And that's what we're hoping in. Mercy. Mercy in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every soul that has their own sin revealed to them, I mean really revealed to them, and every soul that has total forgiveness and mercy in the blood of Christ revealed to them, I mean complete total forgiveness, every soul will say with David and with Roy, verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. From him cometh my salvation. That's it. That's it. It all stands on that right there. Only. Only him. May that be our testimony. May that be our plea before God. I pray so. All right.